Good morning. There are forces all around us that influence us every single day that we cannot see. You're probably thinking about some of them. Gravity, electricity, maybe even the wind. We can only view the effects that these forces have when they act upon other things. Right, and so I might consider, because I haven't researched those things extensively, I might consider those things a little bit mysterious. Maybe you would as well. Would we agree that most of the things that we cannot see are a bit mysterious to us? When you consider the spiritual realm, even God himself, do you ever wonder because of the mystery that is there? God has done a lot of things throughout time that might be considered mysterious, creating the universe from nothing, bringing life to things that are dead, even having complete control over nature, over a storm. I'd say that many of the children's Bible stories that we learn as children, a lot of the amazing Bible stories include this angle of mystery to them. But it's a different kind of mystery or mysteriousness than we tend to think about mystery, right? I think it's a mysterious that is connected or tied to God's magnitude, how great he is. So God obviously transcends this physical realm that we're so familiar with. And we have been given some revelation about the spiritual world, but a lot of it certainly is still unknown. When I think about God's mysteriousness, what comes to my mind is the supernatural power that he possesses. When God gives a name to Moses for his people to call him, Yahweh, he says, "Call me, I am." It expresses his dominion over all things, his great power, and his eternal nature. That's magnificent. But isn't it also a little bit mysterious? The I am. You've probably heard this phrase that God works in mysterious ways. That's not scripture, but that understanding is inspired by Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, which I think is on the screen, and it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So God is mysterious in that he is so much grander than we are ever capable of being or even capable of understanding fully. So we totally get it when we read in Job 11, 7 through 9, "Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea." So when we read about God in other places in Scripture where the writers are trying to express this idea of who God is, of his nature, to describe his nature, but God is really too big for us to fully comprehend, the writers will say things like this: "The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, and that God's knowledge is beyond my comprehension. It is so far beyond me, I am unable to fathom it." Or in Psalm 154:3, "Great is the Lord, he is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness." So God in his totality is capacity overload for us, right, for our brains. We cannot fully grasp God's fullness. We could talk for weeks and weeks and still not be able to squish him down enough to be able to fit him right here in our minds, right? He's too big. He's too much. So while there is mystery that pertains to God, and we have this longing but inability to fully comprehend his magnificence, aren't you thankful that he has revealed quite a bit about himself to us? While we may not be able to grasp the fullness that is God, his magnificence and his mysteriousness that comes with him, I want you to hear this. God is not unknown to us. He's not unknown. So I want to ask you this morning, what kind of view do you have of God? How do you see him in his might, in his power, in his greatness, in his magnificence, and even in his mysteriousness? I would like us to consider that this morning, because the way that you view God is very, very important. Theologian A.W. Tozer said this: "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." I recently asked some of you to share with me some of the ways that we might view God inaccurately or in an unhealthy way. And so these are some of the thoughts that were shared kind of as a collaboration together. So one unhealthy way that we might view God is that God is distant. If God is mysterious, maybe some of us perceive God to be far away. If God doesn't seem to be intervening when life is pressing so heavily on us, then maybe he doesn't really care that much about what's going on. Perhaps we view God as not easily reached, right? He's too far away. We can only see him from afar. We might see God as distant. Or we might see God as a vending machine. Maybe you've considered that before. After we've exhausted all other options, trying to deal with our own issues, we're finally ready to punch in B4 and see if God will give us what we need, what we want. That relationship with God might feel a little bit transactional, but maybe that's how we view God. Many of us might be on the other side of that, where we view God as maybe a little bit too up close and personal. Maybe like a helicopter parent. We might view God as a referee. He's checking your every move. He's watching for a foul, ready to penalize you when you make a mistake. I try to be cautious about the way that I talk to Jude, my three-year-old, about God when I say something like, you know, "Jude, remember, God is watching you." Right? That's certainly true, but that could also be taken as very Santa Claus-ish, right? That he's ready to mark his name down on the naughty list when he messes up. So we might view God as a referee. We might view God as a police officer. Maybe this is just me, but if a police officer is following me while I'm driving, maybe even tailgating me, I feel like they're waiting for me to mess up. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. Suddenly driving doesn't become very natural for me, okay? I'm afraid I'm going to do something wrong, right? I'm afraid I'm going to mess up, make a mistake. And I'll give you an example of this. This actually happened. When I was in high school, I was driving across town one summer night with one of my friends named James, who was in the passenger seat. It was about 2 a.m., and we were going from his house back to my house for the night, and I pull up to this stop sign at a T intersection. Okay, so I can go left or right at this intersection. Across the street, as I stop at this stop sign, there's a gas station, a small gas station, and there are two police patrol cars parked there with four officers all standing around the cars visiting. And cool, no big deal, right? But I guess for whatever reason, for some unknown, literally unnecessary reason, I get nervous. And I don't know if I didn't want to turn too far into the oncoming lane or something, but as I turn, as I make my simple right turn, my right passenger tire runs over the curb. And I drive up about 100 yards after I make this turn. I turn left on the road that my grandma lives on, and pretty soon after, what do I see in the rearview mirror? Some lights. Okay. No reason at all to get nervous, but it happens. To me, anyway. Maybe some of us feel that way when we think about God. I know that I've been there. There are definitely ways that we can view God that are not very healthy, not very accurate, or just kind of a misunderstanding of who God really is. There was a moment when the Sadducees questioned Jesus about the resurrection and the afterlife, and he responded in this way. The context is a little bit different, obviously, but in Matthew 22:29, Jesus responds to them and says, "You are in error," and I want you to read what's in red with me if you can see that. "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." So different context there than what we're talking about this morning. But you know, some of us this morning might just be a little bit wrong about God. Some of us maybe have misunderstood who God is, what he's about, and how he sees us. So I want to challenge you with this morning, that God is not the one who is changing. So this may very well be on us, the way that we view God. I think that sin has a way of blurring or distorting our vision, and I'm convinced that Satan is constantly feeding us lies about who God is as well. You know that Adam and Eve's view of God changed drastically when they sinned in the garden, right? Their relationship with God was interrupted. Their vision was interrupted. The shame that they felt, even the way that they felt they needed to hide from a God who was good, their perspective changed, their perception of God changed because of sin. And it seems to me that we can also project our own character onto God sometimes. I'm sometimes pretty impatient. So I bet God's fuse is pretty short with me too. But God is not like us. God is constant. God is solid. God is firm. I also think that if we, like Jesus said, you don't know the scriptures, if we haven't spent much time in scripture, then God may not be in the truth of who he is, may not be as familiar to us as he should be. Right? So if our Bibles are rarely open, then maybe our eyes aren't as open as we think they are. So it's likely that if you're anything like me, that you viewed God maybe inaccurately at times, or at least wondered about his character. Is he really this way? Is he really as good? Is he really as great? Is he really as loving as he says he is? So someone in this room, your view of God may be inaccurate. And maybe for you, it's a relief that somebody's telling you that this morning. So all of this isn't to say that we make God out to be whatever we want. Right? In Proverbs 9:10, we read, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So certainly God is deserving of us understanding him as he is and deserving of our utmost respect. But the second part of that proverb says, "And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So the way that we view God matters, and knowing God matters. So what are some truths that we can hold on to about who God really is? When our view of God can become distorted, what are truths that we can hold on to see clearly who he is? So here are some things that I want us to consider this morning. Some healthy views of God. We can view God as our sustainer. He is a God of provision. He's not so much a conditional being as we are so conditional in response to the things that happen to us and happen around us. You know, the only reason that the world is still held together today is because what God said about it way back in the beginning. He's a sustainer and a provider. He's not out to get you. He's looking out for you. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." So we can view God as our sustainer. We also can view God as our Father. This one can be tough maybe for some of us who maybe don't really know what a good father looks like, or haven't had a good father in our lives. So we mentioned already that our own sin can affect the way that we view God, but I also think the negative experience that happened to us have an impact on that as well, like the way that people close to us treat us, and it can complicate the way that we view God. So here's what I want you to hear this morning as we view God as Father. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. And read what's in red with me if you can see that. Read it loud. I can barely hear you, by the way. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will. He predestined us for adoption. Do you realize that adoption is never an accident? God didn't accidentally run across you and settle for you. Adoption is a choice. God chose to be in relationship with you. He didn't stumble upon you. He didn't accidentally find his way to you. He chose you. He chose to be in relationship with you. And then one more, God is proactive. So again, whereas we humans are so reactive to the things that go on around us, God almost always makes the first move. We love because he first loved us. We ask because he's actively listening to us. We are saved because he's already extended this invitation to us. We are hopeful because he has already overcome the world. We can return home because he's already waiting for us and watching for us. So why have we been talking so long about the ways that we might view God? God is so big, there's so much to him, we can never fully comprehend it. Well, again, the way that we view God is very important. The way that we perceive God is huge. If you've ever watched Undercover Boss, you may know that this is a show about an owner or a CEO of a company who, you know, someone who has high status in a company, and they leave the office, they put on a disguise, and they go to work alongside or even train under some of the, you know, lower employees in the company. And the CEO learns about those specific jobs. He learns about the stories of the employees, what they're sacrificing for the company, what's difficult for them, and maybe some of the ways that he can improve their work conditions. Normally, at the end of the show, that's when the CEO meets the employees one-on-one, and he reveals who he actually is, and usually offers them something in return for the time he spent with them and what he heard from them. In one of the episodes, the CEO of the golf brand TaylorMade was uncovered while he was still in training. So someone recognized him and started telling all the other employees, and it kind of got around, and he basically just said, "Yeah, it's me." It seemed, after that interaction, it seemed as though the employees had a new perception of the CEO, right? No longer thinking about the CEO as this person who was unreachable or untouchable, but somebody who was right there with them, right, working in the trenches. And so I want to remind you that the mysterious creator of the universe, who is so mysterious and magnificent, he emptied himself, we read in Philippians 2, of his high status, and he came to us, right? The word became flesh. All the mysteriousness of God became visible and was revealed through Jesus Christ, so that his people might know him and see him with a new perspective. So Jesus is really the final word on what God is like, right? Not what somebody on social media tells you, not what somebody on your favorite podcast says about him, but what Jesus exemplified with his life. So the way that we see God is important because our perception of God changes our posture. Okay, so I've said many times our view of God is important, but this is why: our perception of God changes our posture. So we all have this posture that we carry ourselves with, right? Physical posture, standing up straight or you're slouched over, it's kind of this, it's kind of part of who you are, your posture. Our beliefs about God have the power to influence the way we see ourselves, the world, and the way we live. Our perception of God can change the way that we carry ourselves. It can change our posture. Okay, so that's what I mean by that. If we see God as through one of the unhealthy lenses that we've talked about, would that not affect the way that you interact with the other people around you? The way that you see yourself? The way that you operate within those relationships? I wonder if the way that you were treated ever has the potential to affect the way you treat somebody else. Now, of course, we want to have self-control, right? But the potential for influence is always there. Psychiatrist Timothy Jennings wrote a book called The God-Shaped Brain. And this is what he found from his research. What you believe about God changes your brain. So brain research and neuroscience over the years has found that our thoughts and our beliefs affect the physical, mental, and spiritual health of us. There is a neurobiological transformation that occurs in your brain based on what you believe to be true about God. Pathways develop in your brain's anterior cingulate cortex, which is responsible for things like empathy, impulse control, emotion, and decision making. So unfortunately for some of us who have this distorted image of God where we see him fearfully, or we think of him in punitive ways, we're going to live with a posture of apprehension, fear, uncertainty, and maybe even anxiety. All right, does that make sense? On the other side of that, if we view God as a benevolent, loving being, like Jesus revealed him to be, that activates different brain circuits, which frees us for a posture of love and compassion. So either way you tend to perceive God, the circuits that are firing repeatedly over time, they will actually create a structural change in our brains. So what you believe about God changes you. It literally changes your brain. The physical changes to your brain, and also the way that that affects us relationally and spiritually. So the way you view God literally changes you. It changes the way you interact with others. It can change you internally, and maybe most importantly, and this is what we're going to talk about next, it changes the way that you respond to God. So what is our response to God if we have a good understanding of him, a healthy understanding of him? Because our realization about God impacts our response to God. If we can remove the obstructions from our eyes and begin to see God more clearly for who he is, how might that impact our relationship with him? So probably 10 years ago, I heard this guy preaching, and he said this, said these following ideas, and I still remember them very, very often. He said, when we are children, we obey our parents to get a reward. When we are teenagers, we obey our parents to avoid punishment. When we are matured, we obey our parents not because of any reward or punishment, but because why? Because we love them. Because we love them. So as we mature in a relationship with God, and especially as we develop a healthier perception of who God is, we will begin to respond to him differently. And our motivation for obedience may even change. John 14:15-24 says, if you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So what we realize about God, what we understand about God, and what we know to be true about him, that will impact the way that we respond to him. There have been many times, if I'm being completely honest with you, when I walk into worship extremely excited to praise God. But there have also been some times where I've come in and I've wondered why the words that we're seeing don't really match how I'm feeling about God at that moment. Sometimes there's inconsistency, right? Sometimes God is mysterious in that way. But again, it's not God who's inconsistent or wavering, right? So your view of God is important. Your perception of God changes your posture. Your realization of God, about God, impacts your response to him. Will you pray with me? Our God, so overwhelmingly magnificent and mysterious, so much more than we can ever fully comprehend. Yet here you are this morning listening to us. Father, some of your children approach you this morning with confidence, some with a bit of uncertainty, and maybe even some with deep anxiety, God. We want to thank you for revealing who you really are to us. Even if your greatness is beyond comprehension, God, we know that you are sustainer, you are our Father, you have chosen us, and you are looking out for us. God, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for letting us see you and know you clearly. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.